Hey, everybody. This show starts as what is effectively a King Kix solo show where Kix is diving into the market. He just had a huge win over the weekend, buying the bottom of Renga and getting what was effectively almost a 2X. So, you know, shout out to Kix for that one. He talks about the volume in the NFT space, what he's seeing in the market, and then Node crashes the show and the two of them discuss what they're seeing in NFTs. Definitely a fan favorite. No me and Nick to bog the show down. It was really cool. Hope you enjoy it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NFT show. This is a solo show, or actually a duet, me and my brand new mustache trying to compete with Node over here. But Pio already did a show today. Nick already did a show today. So I'm going to do a little solo show. So I hope you guys hop in. And we'll keep it light. So if you're, if you want to hop in the comments, chat it up, that'll be awesome. But yeah, so today we will be talking, slow bleed of NFTs, other interesting things going on in the NFT space. We can talk about Rango a little bit. We can talk about the merge tomorrow. As always, nothing in this show is financial advice, certainly not from me. I bought a bunch of Pixelmon. You should, you know, definitely don't listen to me on those kinds of things. But yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Nathan. Yeah, I'm rocking the mustache. Wanted to see how it would go today. But yeah, so let's talk NFTs. You know, in regards to the weekend, you know, it was a little slow, Saturday and Sunday both coming in around 10 milli. And then we had our OpenSea daily volume in ETH down at new lows on the month. Not too surprised. I mean, we have the merge coming up. I think that's taking a lot of attention away. I think some people, you know, late to the merge party may be thinking, oh, I want to have more ETH going into the merge because of a good proof of work fork chain comes up. That's like a free airdrop. So people could be just positioning themselves for a little bit more action going into the merge. And then I also think it's just, you know, the weekend after Labor Day, a lot of people settling into normal routine. So not too surprised seeing the lower volume coming in. The only really sad thing for me was seeing if you kind of estimate based on how much revenue we've done so far this month, 140 million. If you estimate that out for the rest of the year, it gets us just above 300 million. That's where we were at in July. Which is really where the bull market started to form last year, and then we had this huge uptick in volume. So a little bit of a bummer to be back down there, but you know, there's still action going on in the NFT space, so we can, you know, dive in and talk to about a little bit about that. But I'm going to read the comments off. Is this the Kix show just today? I wouldn't be whole without Nick and Pio on the regular. So just doing a little solo one today. Benjamin the Goat says, that's what I'm doing, Kix. Converted all my wrapped ETH to ETH. So Ben's getting ready for the merge. I think a lot of people are positioning like that as well. And then also, you know, the merge is a shaky event. I mean, Ronin, the network behind Axie Infinity, just tweeted out saying that they were going to pause all Ethereum deposits and withdrawals, you know, before and after 24 hours of the merge. I think a lot of other people will do that too. And like, who knows, there could be shaking, like OpenSea may not work properly or, you know, things like that for a day or so. So not too surprised that people, like, if you're thinking about buying, you know, an NFT, especially one that's not a trade, maybe an investment, you're probably thinking, maybe I'll just do that after the merge. A little bit, you know, cleaner of a move. Tigbo says, Kix, give us your top five beers. You know, I like IPAs. You know, you can get me some nice session IPAs. I'll be a happy camper. Speedy Wobbles is a good one if you want to check it out. But yeah, so let's look into the OpenSea volume. So on the 24 hour, we have Ranga leading the charge here, 0.55 ETH. There was a period of time where you could have gotten in like the low to mid threes. As we can see, it kind of just, you know, dropped off after they started coming out. They've just been consolidating in a range for about a week and had a big volume day today, 747 sales. So that's doing great. But really the trade was the Ranga black boxes. very similar to if you all remember when Clone X had the clone vials and you could, you know, you could burn the vial and get an actual Clone X. Well, the vials themselves started to trade at a premium, you know, with the expectation that some of them would be rares. So these black boxes, you could gotten them even a week ago for like 0.45. They've absolutely surged in price to 1.1. We first talked about it on the show way back August 23rd, 22nd, when they were down at like 0.4. So if you had conviction, you held that all of the way. You're almost sitting on a 3X, which is pretty exciting. And then if we go over and look at some of the other projects, ENS is just not giving up, which is honestly impressive. And I was thinking about ENS, you know, is it even truly an NFT, right? Because it's really so much more than that. But it's really awesome to see ENS taking up or picking up a lot of storm. Of course, Vitalik has been in the news talking about ENS a lot lately, so that's bringing a ton of attention there. And we even had a spillover effect where over the weekend people started speculating on .sol domains. So there was a lot of 3- and 4-digit .sol domains over the weekend going for a lot of money. So there's people speculating all over the place on the ENS side of the market. If you were smart, unlike me, and got into these numbers 3, 4, 5 months ago, arguably the best trade of this year. Which is pretty wild to think about. I own a decent bag of ENS domains, but none of them are numbers. All of them are letters. We'll see if the letters end up working out. Ute is very, very interesting. I was looking at this over the weekend. These actually bottomed out on Saturday or Friday, and then have since rallied back up. But this project, you know, got a decent amount of FUD for having to, you know, delay the reveal and everything like that. But really surprised to see the floor price this high. I'd be curious in the chat what you all think the post-reveal floor is. I would assume it's probably in the 70 or 80 range. So if you hold these through reveal, you may be gambling for a rare. I think D-Gods also is down in like the 300, low 300 soul range. So it's pretty interesting to see the parent collection trading so closely to the Utes themselves. Clone X, little bit of a dumperino, broke through the sixth floor all the way down to 5.5, now back up to 5.7. If you don't know what's going on there, Clone X created a special profile pick, or a special clone, rather, for LeBron James that involved them changing out the metadata for the beard, I think. And they're getting a little bit of, you know, pushback from the community. I think some concern about, you know, them just going in and arbitrarily adding metadata or changing metadata. They had a Twitter Spaces today. I think the CTO came out and said that Clone X is, you know, on the long-term horizon. They're meant to be avatars, so they're meant to be customizable. So this may have been a buy the FUD dip opportunity. You have to use Magic Eden to get quotes on Utes. Yeah, I know, but you can still look at the activity on OpenSea to see the ETH price and get like a decent idea of how the ETH price is like trading on these things. So I just like to do that because, you know, as an ETH trader, I like to see these things in ETH. So being able to see like, okay, this was at 0.4, went up to 1.3, and now it's ranging in the 1.3 range. I like to see that stuff, even if the sales data isn't or the floor isn't 100% accurate. If I'm going to buy, I'm going to go over to Magic Eden anyways. Mitchell Swavel says, Kick's opinion on mutants. Mutants at 12.86. Didn't they drop to like the high 11s, I want to say, last week? Seemed like they're catching a bid, almost back up to 13. I tweeted out the other day that, like, you know, the only true blue chips in the space are Yuga Labs assets. And if you just look at the top four, right, it's like a, you know, a million ETH, 661,000 ETH, 450,000 ETH, 340,000 ETH. Like, that's insane. I mean, if you think about it, like, Mutants has done double the volume of Azuki or Clone X, and those are sort of like, you know, flagship projects. So, and I mean, this unique owner count is insane at 67% for such a high collection. Super impressive. So, I mean, Mutants are strong, man. You know, it's a bear market. Dude, Node, what's up?
I just, let's, you know, thought I'd, go, thought, dude. I thought I'd pop in and say hello, you know, just, I was watching you there. You looked all by yourself, you know?
Did you see my comment on your show, asking, telling you that my mustache, my Node mustache derivative was minting today?
Oh, that was you. I didn't even know that. I missed it. I can only do like one thing at a time, but I remember reading that later. I didn't know it was actually you that wrote it, dude.
That was me on my old avatar, the speculator of art. Dude, how you doing, man? Looking good.
Thank you. I know, dude, it's mustache season, baby. If you don't have one, you know, where's Nick's? Like, Nifty Nick needs one.
I've never seen that guy with facial hair.
Yeah, he may not be able to. We'll see. We'll see if you can figure that out. But, dude, I just wanted to come.
Can't fix.
Yeah, I just wanted to come and just, you know, sit at the feet of the king and you know, maybe throw in my 2 cents every once in a while. But it was just, you just looked so lonely. And I was like,
dude, I appreciate it.
Let's bring this guy. Let's do what we can, dude. Let's fire this up.
You the man, Ned. You the man, dude. I couldn't think of a better sidekick to come in on this show and just crank it out with me. So, yeah, just talking a little NFTs over the weekend. Not much action. Probably not too surprising, right? I think I know you have kids. I think a lot of people that, you know, are doing the back-to-school routine or whatever, you know, this past weekend was like the first weekend where, you know, everyone's chilling out. So, you know, I particularly wasn't diving into NFTs too hard. Not surprised if anyone else is as well. I also think a lot of NFT traders do stuff like fantasy football as well. So like, you know, right? So like football weekend, right? Everyone's watching the games. They're not trading as much, right? It's interesting when we think about NFTs like not in a complete vacuum and instead being like, oh, there's like, you know, overlap between this and, you know.
Yeah, like real life stuff, right? Like, exactly. Yeah, and other, like Labor Day was super slow again. I imagine there's way more crossover with like fantasy football people than like people with kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we gotta inspire these young guns out there. Get out there, find someone you love, have some kids, dude. This is what life's
mint
all
some
about,
derivatives,
dude.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. Mint some derivatives.
Some
yeah,
double
yourself,
derivatives.
Dude.
My favorite.
They're the best, man. I also think when it comes to the slower volume, like we've got like 2 days before the merge. So
yes.
I did like this entire like write-up kind of presentation thing on it and for a Discord group. And like my only conclusion is that we are in for some mega volatility, right? And
right.
Maybe not. I don't see how there is not volatility with ETH price. And you know, what happens when ETH is volatile to NFTs? It's not the greatest for the market, right?
It really isn't. And I also think that, you know, there's a decent amount of people that have been hearing like the, you know, stack as much ETH as you can like into the fork so that if there's, you know, other protocols that fork off like proof of work or whatever, that you'll have like ETH on that protocol, right? And then you're like essentially getting an airdrop. So I wonder if some people, basically if I was going to buy an NFT that was for anything other than like a low risk trade, I'm definitely waiting until the other side of the merge, because you just don't know, like, you know, is OpenSea going to have issues, right? Are liquidity pools going to have issues? I mean, I know they've battle tested the crap out of this thing, but it's definitely like, sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's unknown unknowns, right? Like you don't know what you don't know. And so hopefully everything goes smoothly. But I'm busy throwing out WEETH bids like nobody's business and nobody is accepting them. So I'm clearly doing something wrong. What I need your advice, dude. Like what do I do here?
It's tough, man, because I also think that it's very dependent on what you're throwing, you know, bids on, right? Because like if you're throwing bids on like art or like, you know,
that's what I'm doing mostly.
Yeah, one out of ones or even low supply, right? There's just less opportunities to catch like a capitulator versus like, you know, if you throw an offer in on Utes, right? You have basically you just got to get one out of 15,000 people to like hit it. I was definitely having a lot more success with offers, probably like a month ago. You know what I mean? Or even maybe a month before that, like when there was a lot of capitulation out there, there was a lot more people dumping to offers. I'm with you though. I haven't seen nearly as many like offers getting taken, which could be kind of, you know, bullish for the market. But I still think there, you know, there's opportunities like depending on what you're looking at. Like a good one would be like Digi, right? Since it's a little bit low, you know, low unique count, and there's a decent spread between the two. Like you'll probably see a good amount of people taking offers, right? So you got like 6.2 2 and 6.
Yeah, those are going way lower. It's interesting. It must just be the difference, right, between a lot of PFP projects and just art in general, right? Like the people that hold art, they're kind of maybe more diamond handed. Like I'm putting in offers that are at floor price some of the time for maybe a piece that's listed a little bit higher, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like they may not be any more rare. It's just the person listed it higher than floor. And I'm putting offers in at floor price and nobody's biting.
Art holders are a different breed too, because I think they're used to a lot of volatility and they're used to maybe like lower liquidity. So they're not like so much like, oh, I need to like dump this like right now. You're basically sitting around waiting for someone to like need that money, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which most of the time, yeah, if it's like the art side, it's a little less focused on the trading. Although, you know, last summer that was the trade, right? Was the art stuff. But
I mean, August was insane.
Dude, it was a day for the ages. I don't even want to think about it. How many opportunities I squandered, screwed that up. How's my SMBs doing, dude?
They look good, man. I was checking them for a while. I mean, I love projects that like have consolidated and like aren't bleeding. So, I mean, if you look at this through like the beginning of August, it has held a pretty consistent floor, right?
It's like a stable coin at this point.
It's like a stable coin. Yeah. And then with like 3 days of pretty decent volume here at the end. And I mean, the tough thing for me is I'm not like tapped into Solana so much, or specifically like Solana Monkey Business, but like this would be the example of like a perfect project where like if it had like a Utes level news event, right? Like these could probably like, you know, potentially 2x from here. But I mean, it's insane just to think they've been sitting at a 4 ETH floor while like on the ETH side, if a lot of, you know, quote unquote blue chips dropped 4 ETH in price, you know, over the same period of time. So
that's a good point. I it's hard. It's always hard for me to know like how much of a correlation can you draw between, you know, they call them the punks of Solana, right? Mm-hmm. And, but like I remember when DGods was heating up several months ago. And I had the exact same feeling I had with my freaking punk, which was like, Bored Apes are coming and I have a feeling they're going to flip my punk and I'm not going to like, I bought an ape before that happened. I should have bought a D-God when I had the same exact feeling. Like these things are going to flip SMBs because they're not supposed to. And, you know, my cool historical OG one is going to get flipped. We're going to watch the same freaking story play out over and over again. And I didn't make a move. So I'm a little bit salty about that.
I feel you. I mean, one of my top trades like I ever made was getting a bunch of punks right after Starry Night Capital swept them.
Oh, yeah.
Like swept 100 or whatever. And then I sold like right before Visa announced they bought a punk, which was like,
oh,
I missed out like another 50%. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was before that happened.
Before
okay.
that, like yeah, right yeah. before. Okay. If I had waited like another week, I would have made a stupid amount more money. But what was funny is I remember making the sales and thinking like, man, dude, that was like a guap. And then I went over and I looked at the Bored Ape prices. And, you know, the punks did a 3X and the Bored Apes did like a 5X in the same period of time. And you're just like, it. I mean, people love the new stuff. I mean, I've always liked SMB as like a avatar or a profile pick much more than DGods.
Yep.
I think DGods got all of this pump because of the Dust rumors and then, you know, the Utes rumors as well, right? Has Solana Monkey Business done a secondary drop or anything like that?
I not that I know of, but I honestly don't know much. I looked at this and it was like, hey, I want to get, they've done like, there's like different generations. And I mine's a Gen 2 or whatever, but like I know that they've actually got like an interesting, there's a lot of interesting history here. Like there's a DAO and then there was a proposal for somebody else to buy it. And I don't even know what happened if it all got switched over. And here I am busy just holding on to mine, but I bought mine in January and just haven't touched it. Haven't thought about it since. And so it's kind of one of those, like I'm trying to go for the long conviction play and, you know, talking with Easy and these guys on Soul, like my style is I want to hold something like long time if I can. And
yeah, you want to get those long-term capital gains,
yeah,
so 20% of those taxes. You know?
Or just, and I just want to, like, I like holding things for a longer period and hopefully getting a couple and then literally holding one for even longer. But, like, talking to Easy, I'm like, hey, give me, I keep making fun of him for this, you know, but I'm like, hey, give me some projects I can hold for a year. And he like gives me one batch of projects, and then like a week later, he's like, "Wait, I don't know. Let's talk about something else," you know. And then he's like,
"I sold all of those."
Yeah, yeah. He's like, "Okay, give me a new." He's like, 3 weeks later, he's got new projects for me. So, my goal is to hold something on Solana. Like, if I can get that, then that works for me, right? I'm not fast like all these kids on there, you know. I'll just like they can just do things real fast. I'm super slow. I'm a simple guy, so I need something that I can hold for like 3 months minimum.
Yeah, man, I would think that like Ethereum definitely has a trader's market to it, but I think that like Solana is even more of a trader's market, right? And so it's even harder probably to like separate the wheat from the chaff and like figure out like, okay, like what's like, you know, this could do a 4x in a week versus like then go back down to zero in 4 months. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot out of there, but. Have you ever heard of this Portals project? It's Metaverse, which is definitely not hot right now.
No, let's check. I mean, the Nifty Portal, is that what we're talking about, baby?
We have a competitor in the Solana space, man. But just thinking of things that have like, you know. Oh, damn. Are these at 30? I feel like when Easy and I looked at these, they were maybe much, much lower. But yeah, I mean, it's like interesting when you think like you don't like hear. I don't know. It's been dumping. Perfect. Yeah, I think we were looking at them back here, so wouldn't even have made any money. But it's like their version of like Decentraland almost, right? So you can get these cards and you can build these rooms and you can have conferences and stuff like that. I always thought that was really interesting, but I feel like Metaverse is a narrative trade, and it needs like a secular narrative for like all metaverses to pump, and we're just not seeing that right now. So I don't think I would touch that with a 10-foot pole. But I've been in Aurori for literally,
almost a
year.
Me too. I bought the literal Pico top, dude. I was so stupid on this one. I did not like. This was when Magic Eden was barely around. I think if I remember right. And I've got an Aurori, like Hawaiian shirt guy. And I was like, oh, this one looks like it's cool and more rare. And I don't even remember how much I paid for it. I mean, I'd be embarrassed to even tell you. Cause it's like Sol was at like all time highs.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I'm like spending like close to 100 Sol or something on this thing, dude. And like everything. And the only reason was because people hadn't like listed them fully on Aurori, right? The liquidity hadn't even shown up yet. And so people were just throwing them out like way expensive. And the real floor price like was like 30 Sol at that moment. And I mean, I got burned. I was so stupid. But yes, dude, I still hear good things about like this is supposed to be a good game, right?
It's just really tough out there because the cool thing about Aurora is they actually have like a functional game in beta. And I've seen some people like playing around with it and it seems like super interesting. I think that like the tough thing with like a lot of game, it just feels like there's so many games coming on and there's so many game NFT companies being funded as well. I mean, I'm completely guessing here, but if you looked at all NFT project funding over the last like 6 months, I'd say it's like not including like marketplaces, right? Or like gem.xyz kind of things. So if you're talking just like brands, I feel like it's like 60-70% gaming. So there's just so much competition coming into the space. And I feel like it's still really, really new. And the problem with games is like, no disrespect to like profile pick projects and stuff like that, but like a profile pick project, like if it takes you 6 months to go from like idea to launch, you're probably slow, right? Like a lot of these projects are like going from, you know, conceptualization to like making the art to like building the roadmap and everything probably in like 4 to 5 months, right? Games, like to develop a full game can sometimes take like 2 years, right? And so if you think of the entire market, game market, building in these 2 year cycles, it takes a long time for the feedback loop of like what works and what doesn't, right? Like we all went through kind of like the Axie Infinity, like breeding and play to earn gaming cycle, right? And a lot of the games that came into the space in like 2021 and early 2022 had that model, right? And now people that saw the good, the bad, and the ugly of that model, the games that they're building that are trying to be better than that, right, aren't going to come out until next year or the year after, right? So last year I was like 2022 is going to be like the year of like, you know, crypto gaming. And I still feel like crypto gaming is probably going to be maybe one of the biggest use cases other than art for NFTs. But I think that it may take longer than everyone expects for it to like really, like, I think we're going to have a lot of awesome games and playable games and there'll be a lot of like pumps. But when you're talking about like the whole sector, it may be a while. So I think that's part of the problem with these things. It's like, you know, Aurori may be a great buy, but it may not materialize if the game's successful until like 2023, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm only down probably 90, 95% on these. So, you know, I'll just hold.
I tweeted over the weekend. I don't think some people thought I was understood I was doing it in jest, but like I posted a picture and I was like, that feeling when your profile pic's like only down 80% and like other people's is down 90%. And it's just like guy looking like an absolute Chad. You know what I mean? Like I only lost 8 out of my $10, man. I'm the shit. Like yeah, everyone else lost 9 out of 10.
It's like, yeah, I love it. You know, when you just compare to like assets, you know, instead of comparing to ETH or heaven forbid USD, you know, like then it'll make you feel a little bit better. But yeah, we were chatting. I was just chatting with Nucci on Node Mode about Moonbirds and he was, you know, he's obviously a big holder, but he's kind of like, look, like he thinks that it may continue to drop, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like he was like, you know, we're a long ways out from big announcements. Well, they already announced some stuff, but we're a long ways out from the implementation of a lot of these things, right? Like 6 months, and 6 months is an eternity. People are going to forget, right? And they're going to get impatient. So I don't know. Like I've been putting offers in these. That silver, oh dang, that guy with the silver captain's hat, like in the silver
fur. For 10.
Yeah, I put an offer in for 9 on that guy and didn't get it. But you know, I got way outbid. But I'd love to pick up more Moonbirds in the single digits, but it is kind of worth thinking about. Like the next kind of support level is probably right around where all the other quote unquote blue chips are, right? Which is Azuki, Doodles, and Clonex. So anywhere from like what 6, 5, 7, 6 ETH, you probably ought to brace yourself for potential kind of downside to that level, I would say. But
yeah, I actually pretty impressively almost literally top bought my Moonbird. Like you could probably comp a crown to like just another good like hat trait. So like the space. So like I bought mine for like 36 grand. So like I'm down 12 grand in USD and I'm down probably like 14 ETH. So that was not the best trade. And I completely agree with your friends. Like I could definitely see these continuing to go lower for the very reason that you stated, which is that like a lot of people put like almost like an implied premium on assets that they think could have a catalyst. And although I think the proof conference was great and like they laid out this awesome vision, but as you said, none of it's materializing until at least 2023. So then it's like, what's the catalyst that would make Moonbirds pump for the next 3 months? Literally nothing. So if you're a trader, right, and you have a limited amount of capital, you're going to sell even at a loss and be like, dude, I have 3 months of nothing going on that I can trade this 10 SOL or 10 Ethereum that you sold it for. And you could trade up a stack in 3 months. You could turn that 10 into 20, right? And as you said, maybe then you get back into Moonbirds at like 5 ETH. So I think the price action completely makes sense. Wouldn't be surprised, like you said, for this to go to like the 6 to 8 range, which is where everything else is sitting at outside of Yuga Labs. Would it be good for my bags? It's funny in a bear market, like instead of like just, you know, killing it and making a ton of money, I'm like mentally in my head, like offsetting losses with wins. I'm like, okay, I sold a digi for about how much I lost on this Moonbird. So like, that's a wash. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah. I washed that out.
Dude, that's a huge win. If you don't get fully chopped up right now, like call that a win. Like I'm not doing very much trading. I'm just trying to like put WEETH bids in on assets that I really like and trying to call it good, you know, trying to be as patient as I can, because I think we're going to need that. And I mean, you never know, right? Like Moonbirds may come out with some announcement that's out of the blue that drives something upwards. But Man, yeah. If they get down to that 6 to 8 range, I will scoop another for sure. Unless I'm worried about the whole market, you know.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, like, I think people really like certain projects, and they'll defend the floor, and they have the capital to do it at a certain point, unless like everything is literally on fire. One thing interesting with the Moonbirds, though, a lot of people forget that when ETH bottomed out at like 1,000, right, and like NFTs capitulated really bad at the same time, like technically you could have gotten like Moonbird for 15 ETH when ETH was at 1,000. So it's like it's actually still in USD, like back to the bottom of where it was with the initial like complete panic bleed out, if you're looking in USD terms, right? So yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, the last like, you know, 2 months have been like super painful, but it's like, actually, dude, like it still hasn't even bottomed. Like, you know what I mean? It still hasn't hit its previous bottom. If it goes below that, it could be much worse. But yeah, I'm just trying to make little trades here and there and just stack up some ETH that I can you know, just try to make some trades with. But like I'm same as you, like the big buys and stuff like that, I'm a little bit more cautious. I ended up dumping, this is a real bear market trade right here. You know, buy it for 4, sell it for 3, but I bought it at 1200 ETH and I sold it at, you know, 1750 ETH. So I made money in USD, but lost, you know, 15% in ETH terms. That's a real bear market trade. You can make yourself feel good or bad.
Get taxed. It's like you get taxed on making more ETH, dude.
Exactly. You get taxed on losing ETH.
That's what happened.
Yeah, that's like, yeah. You know, congrats. You're not feeling great about that. You're just like,
Oh man. Okay, did you already talk about Ranga on the show? I wasn't listening in the beginning.
Just briefly, but yeah, so Ranga's,
I'm just like, curious, cuz like, you know, it's been getting a lot of movement, obviously, like the Discord's blowing up on it. I hear obviously like people love the art, love the artists. I don't hear necessarily as positive things about the actual team. But like, yeah, what's your take? Where are we at here? Is this a little toppy top?
Yeah, when they first came out, or we were like getting ahead of the reveal, when I first bought in, I heard similar things that like people love the art, but maybe there's some question marks on the team. But yeah, there's a couple of interesting things. Like one, you know, they on their website, they have like the We New Labs connection. Two, I haven't verified this myself, but I saw someone in our Discord say that like 470 ETH from the Ranga Mint went to a wallet owned by We New. So like that sounds a little bit more than just like a light partnership, right? If you're sending over like a $500,000. So they may be a little bit more ingrained than, you know, everyone thinks. And of course, no surprise now, I'm pretty sure like Ranga and 10KTF have a, you know, like you can use your Rangas to make 10KTF stuff, right? So you can already see that starting to form. But yeah, the trade for me, like whenever I see like certain people talk about something, it gives me like an 80 to 90% confident in it. So there's this trader D Farmer on Twitter. I don't know if you follow him.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've followed this guy for over a year. He's just, his hits are just unbelievable. Like he was accumulating the heck out of mutants when they were like in the 3 to 4 ETH range after they bottomed out after mint. He went super big on like 3-4 digit, you know, domains. Like the guy just trades.
Nailed it.
Incredibly well. So I saw him talking about Ranga a lot, right? And the reason why I say like 80 to 90% confidence is because like no one's right all the time, right? But like when I see like he's in it, and I saw some other, you know, smart people buying into Ranga. I know Dingaling bought in, right? Like there's some good names in it. I made the trade simply being like, there's literally nothing else going on in the market, right? So like, if there's one thing set up for a pump, it's probably this smart money project that has some, you know, potentially good connections to We New Labs 10KTF. So I bought in at like 0.38, 0.39. It shot up all the way to 0.65, which was my target. And now it's back down to like 0.55. The real trade though, node was the black boxes. Cause I got in at those at like 0.45, but the market was just so shaky. I think I trimmed most of them for like an average cost of like 0.7, 0.75. So I got like a 50% gain. But if you just held those, that was like a real nice 3X. I mean, because a lot of, you know, the whales, they are really liking the rares and they're buying rares at high premiums. And so I think that's why the spread is like literally 2X between Ranga and Ranga Black Box.
Ah, So yeah, that was the play and I completely missed it. And I don't even, I honestly, like, I don't know anything about this project other than people like the art. What is it? What is it supposed to be? Like, what is it supposed, is this a game? Is this a, just another PFP? Like, what is it supposed to actually be?
Yeah, great question. I should know that as an owner, but...
You're just a trader, dog. We just want to make some cash and let's make get rolling, you know?
Make a little cash. A little cash.
Let's look at that vision.
But I was talking to, like, Josh B. One of the things that he said is that it's not just, like, you know, the smart money or the connection to 10KTF, but it's also, like, their connection into, like, Asian culture in general, sort of like an Azuki play.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And there may be some, you know, some... action going on there. I don't know. It's a whole lot of just like big words about community and stuff like
creativity.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Or
exactly.
Innovation. Let's go. I actually do like the art. I think.
Yeah, the art's cool. It's like it's not Creature World at all in the art style, but like, you know, like this kind of like where it almost looked like they're trying to build this like overarching world for the profile. It, like a sort of a similar concept. Also front facing, not left or right. Right. So, I mean, that's rare in and of itself. But yeah, man. So, I mean, this is why, like in this kind of market, you know, like I was a buyer at like 0.4. I'm probably not buying these at 0.5. You know what I mean? Just because I think that they could go up to like, you know, 0.8, 0.9. It just I feel like it's so hard for something to get just, you know, a really long sustained run. I mean, Pudgy Penguins off the bottom, you could have got them at 3. They're now at 3.6.
Not bad, not bad. What about I'm curious your thoughts on Doodles, dude. Like,
we got to talk Doodles. So they got a Twitter Spaces tomorrow, right?
Yeah, at some point next couple of days. So I haven't even looked at the price. So let's do this live and see what's going on here because I'm curious to see if it's pumping or if it's just kind of hanging out. Honestly, this is the worst time. It's almost like it's the worst time to buy, right? Because it's there's been an announcement that they're going to do something, which is usually peak hype season.
Yeah, like sell the news kind of thing. But see, the difference for them is the fact that they have not shared any news for like or tweeted for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So there's the potential that you know there could be some strong upside.
Right. That's the problem. It's like, yeah, you just know they're literally going to do a Twitter Spaces. So that's like, you know, what does that mean? Are they going to actually announce something or just say like, hey, we're still working on stuff just like we told you we were, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Or if it's like some big reveal. I feel like if it was a big reveal, it'd be more than just Twitter Spaces. I think this is more kind of like probably like a sharing with the community what they've been up to and maybe where they're going. Von Go in the chat said, Duplicator and Genesis Box of Buy ? You know, Doodles has the spaces tomorrow. They both went up a tiny bit, but like nowhere near like pumped, you know. So like if there actually was like a really strong announcement, it could definitely take off. I think the tricky thing is that they have two unrevealed things. I bought these Genesis boxes at 0.2, right? And they're still at 0.2, so they haven't moved yet, or moved much. But there's not just these. There's also the duplicators, right? So
duplicopter.
So it's like which one, right? Because you wouldn't think that they're going to do both at the same time. So you're almost kind of betting like what's first in the queue, and you know it may be the duplicator. So I may be sitting on the sidelines a little longer than I liked. But yeah, despite all the FUD with Doodles, I mean the floor price has held up quite well.
Yeah, I almost wonder if the play is one of the smaller ticket items just because those might be more reflexive in the price. But like,
yeah, that's why I went with the Genesis boxes because I'm like, if someone has less than an ETH that they're like trading with, right, they can pick up a box or two. They're kind of priced out of Doodles. They may be a little bit priced out of duplicators as well.
Yeah, I rode my duplicator down from, you know, I guess it was airdrop, so I can't get too mad, but. It's like I could have sold that sucker for what, 3 or 4 ETH at the peak, and I'm just still holding it. And I would have sold it earlier, actually. I would have sold it multiple times, but I kept listing it, and the price kept dropping. So I like listed it at floor twice, and the price kept dropping. So I just held it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I love this. Yeah. Love this.
Dude, I've been actually like aggressively when I'm trying to sell something. aggressively take offers. Like I had four digis. I think, no joke, three out of four of them I dumped to offers for that exact same reason, which is that like I just don't want to deal with like the you know volatility. Especially like a low supply project like that, that can just ping pong all over the place. And like, I remember taking an offer at like 10.7 on one. And then, you know, the next day I was like, oh, that looks like a bad decision. And like 3 days later, I'm like, okay, the floor is below that. That was a good decision. It's just, you know, things are all over the place. So yeah, I mean, I actually like went through my portfolio on Sunday and I just took shit offers on some old NFTs, just like $18 a pop. You know what I mean? I was just like taking
$18, dude. Good for you.
I know, right?
Take out those couch cushions, man. I still have like
adds up.
I got like four planets or something left from Pixel Vault because I was just like tired of trying to sell them all. You know, like I sold off all my assets and bought a CloneX, which I thought it was a genius move at the time. And now I'm probably sixes, honestly. But like, I literally could not dump because I had like one of everything from Pixel Vault's ecosystem, and I just couldn't sell them all. Like I did, it took me like 2 or 3 weeks to sell everything, and even then, now I'm left with like a few planets, and I still have their Mint Pass 2 or something because I have like 30 of those, and I was like, I just don't want to deal with it. Like I don't want to deal with trying to sell 30 of these things, so I'm literally holding them for whenever I can burn them all into like one thing. And then I'm going to sell that whatever that one thing is. Like, so way to keep me in the ecosystem, guys. That was cool. But I at least love that they're trying to build stuff, right? I think they're cool. I'm excited to hopefully see that project turn around at some point. But man, too many assets, dude.
A lot of assets, you know, at Crypto Raiders, we've gotten ourselves in, you know, we have significantly less assets than that, but like we still have had too many assets. I think that in the bull market, it was easy to kind of extrapolate where we were and just be like straight line up. Right. Yeah. So it's like 100,000 assets. It doesn't sound like that much if you expect like millions of people, you know, playing all these Web3 games. Right. And now we're just like, oh, we just, you know, did we do the same thing Axie Infinity, you know, did in the NFT space? We just did the same thing again, you know, a whole cycle later. But yeah, I mean the oversupply is one thing, but you know, one of the things I've been thinking about is like if you look at like a Doodles, right? I forget what Doodles minted at. They may have minted at 0.4 or 0.25 or something like that. But I do remember like the day they came out, they were at like 0.8, right? And they went all the way up to like 16 or low 20s, I think. They went to like 22 or something like that, right? And now they're all the way back down to like 7. But I mean, still from like 0.8 to 7, they're still like a 10x, like, you know, post mint. But I just think about like you know, some expectations in the NFT community, because like some people probably think like, okay, Doodles needs to go back up to 22. But it's like Doodles didn't set the price at 22, right? Like the market set the price at 22, right? So like Doodles could literally execute the best vision they possibly could. And maybe Doodles 2 years from now is 10 ETH, you know, or 11 or 12 ETH, which is like still a 2X from now, maybe more in USD if Ethereum goes up, right? But like, I just feel like some of that stuff was just pure mania. And it's like, I just don't know if we're going back other than art and maybe like Bored Ape or maybe like Punks, you know what I mean? But a lot of these things, I think it's just like, if you bought the Pico top, that's just an L you're going to have to take on the chin. We all have them. I have a laundry list. I have a full closet full of them, you know?
I'm trying to like, yeah, I think I'm slowly trying to come around to that point of view of like, yeah, you know what? Some of these assets, they're, you know, or most, I totally agree that some are never going back, but you know, a lot of people are saying most are never going back. And I don't know that it's like a very bear market thing to say, right? Like, hey, we're never going to see prices like we ever saw last
totally.
Year.
Totally. I mean, and people probably said the same thing about Ethereum and Bitcoin.
They
right?
did. Like, yeah. And look, it's done it like over and over, but I do think like that's the right, it's probably the right mentality to have, right? Like these assets are not going back to their all time high. That's a right mentality. So if you're going to buy something, like, definitely be willing to hold it or be willing to say,
and
like
you're trying to catch the next Ethereum or the next Bitcoin that is going to have those like 100,000x gains the next cycle versus I mean, there's probably 100, 200 coins that were hot in 2017 that don't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
I've also been thinking, like, isn't it funny that, like, NFTs, you know, especially us as, like, buyers of NFTs, like, we have this expectation of profit. But, like, when you look at the real world, it's like, you know, you buy a new car, you drive it off the lot, that thing lost 50% of its value. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's so many assets out there that we buy, you know, you buy, you know, a computer or an iPhone after, like, 2 or 3 years, you're just like, okay, it's worthless. I'm just going to go buy a new one. I do think in the next cycle of NFTs, we're going to see things that are like, I don't know, more like consumption based, maybe, if that makes sense, than just straight like, you know, profit based. But
that makes total sense. That's why, like, the way that you explained it is like, hey, we literally are consuming this thing, right? That reminds me of the project The Ticket, like with the TICK3T. That one is like pure utility, pure consumption. Like, you get access to cool sporting events, and when it's your time, when it's like your turn on the waiver wire, if you apply, you're front of the line, you get to go to the game, and they've got, like, you know, boxes at different stadiums and front row seats at other places. Super cool. I bought one. I don't know why, because I don't live in a major city. Like, I'm just like an idiot. I was just like,
you're waiting for that new stadium to come.
Yeah,
to Utah,
like,
right?
Yeah, dude. Like, they're not doing a lot of Utah Jazz games on there. Although I might be able to convince them, dude. We got the All-Star game coming up next year. But, like, I actually think, like, if you wanted to travel, like I do, I'm going to travel to like an F1 race in the next year or two, like, or maybe a couple of them. And so I'm hopeful, like, okay, my pass will get me into that, which, dude, those tickets are not cheap. They're like thousands of dollars. So, yeah. And, you know, shout out to Nifty Nick, dude. Like, he cannot grow a mustache, dude. I feel sorry for the guy. He's also, by the way, dude, he's not here. So we can just totally roll with
rip
this,
on
dude.
Him, like, it's
dude, let's just tear him to shreds, man. So I'm on Twitter and I was like, oh, he said something about how everything's a rug. And I was like, if you're shorter than 5'8", you're a rug. And I am 5'8". And NFT Nick, dude, is not taller than me. He is under 5'8". And this man is like 40 years old, and he thinks that he's 5'8", still, to this day, thinks he's 5'8". And I'm like, dude, sorry, man. You're 5'7", at most. 5'7", at peak, dude. And you know, like...
Did Pio just come in to laugh?
Yeah, and he then... came on, laughed, and then left, dude. Yeah. I like that.
It's the silent nod. It's the silent nod.
But look, dude, I love platform shoes, Nick, and like you can be 5'8" all you want, dude. Like just straight 5'8". Like it took me. Once I graduated college, I admitted I was not 5'9". Like I thought I was 5'9". I kind of rounded up in my head. Nah, man, I'm 5'8", and I owned it at the age of like 24. So Nick's just like 16 years behind me. He just needs to let that realization sink through.
Yeah,
like,
he just needs to get the Dr. Soles 2-inch. I think they call him the 2-inch boost.
And maybe that's, you know, he's measuring with shoes on, right? Great. You know, maybe let's just do that. If you're with shoes on, great. You're 5'8", Nick. Let's just all pretend this for sure.
Well, I love Nick. Nick cracks me up because he'll go like buy a, you know, in other deeds for like, you know, 2.3 ETH just spontaneously. And then 15 minutes later, he's like, all NFTs are going to zero. You know what I mean? Like, he just drops $6,000 in an NFT because he
he's
likes
just like,
it.
He's like, dude, Metaverse Land is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. You guys are all so freaking stupid. And I'm going to buy another deed, though, because this is the exception to the rule, right?
Exactly.
And by the way, IP is useless and Bored Apes are stupid, but I still got mine and it's way valuable. It's like, you know, the man, he's a man of paradox, you know?
He is. He's great. He knows how to generate that controversy. That's what makes a good show, right?
Lean into that, man.
What is your whole thing on the IP rights and, you know, versus CCO and all that?
I actually totally agree with Nick. I think they're overhyped, but I think that IP rights, like, they make total... like having a brand's IP within the industry is totally valid, right? So it's like you own a CryptoPunk or an ape or whatever, it's great branding for you in the space, right? So it's like if you wanted credibility in the space, it helps. Maybe it's not a huge deal, but it certainly helps. It doesn't hurt. But the reality is, yeah, like I don't think the Moonbird CCO stuff is a big deal at all, because the more you think about it, you're like, it's the image that's CCO, right? Like, so it's not the brand that you want to create around
the
image.
It's not the token.
It's not the token. That's not, you know, nobody can have your token. And it's just the image of the art. And if you're going to build any kind of brand or IP around anything, you're going to give it a name, right? And that name is still trademarked, right? So Moonbirds is trademarked. So I actually like the way, like, I like that it's CCO. I almost prefer it, honestly. But obviously, like, doing it later was not the play. They should have done it from the beginning. But
yeah,
like,
and it seemed a little rushed because it was like X copy went CCO, then or right before A16Z did a whole article on CCO and why they thought it was the future, and then it's like Moonbirds is like switching. And I know that Kevin's super ingrained with these people, so they're probably all talking about these things at the same time. But it did seem pretty rushed. I did think it was funny though, because during the heat of the controversy, everyone's like, "Oh my god, people got rugged! Like they had IP rights and now they don't." And I was like, "Can anyone point me to literally one Moonbird that's like trying to do an IP deal right now? Just one. Like, show me one person that was in it." And there was one guy with a glitch.
Yeah, the one guy. There was one guy.
One guy.
And but he didn't have the deal done either.
No. A, he didn't have the deal done. B, his deal involved the Moonbird and a bored ape. And most importantly, it involved him consulting on the project. So this wasn't like a licensing deal, like, here, take my Moonbird and like slap it on your company's brand and like advertise it. It was like it was like a pro like sports trade. It was like a three-way trade. It was like a ape, a Moonbird, and like my hard labor. And then the most ironic part of it all, the deal went through. The deal went through after
it ended up
CCO.
Working, right? Yeah, I heard it. He like they ended up finding a solution, because the reality is like, if it's just the art that's CCO, sure, anybody else can use the art. But I'm like, dude, have you looked at Bored Apes? Do you know how many derivatives there are of that project? Like, you looked at Bored Ape Yoga Club? My gosh, like, everybody thinks that's funny. I think it's just straight up disgusting. And
yeah,
like,
that one's
those
weird.
Those things are like flying all over Twitter, and like, no one's doing anything about it because it's such a pain to try and enforce your own IP rights. Like, you're not going to do it. Like, nobody. Literally no individual holder is going to try and sue somebody else for using their image. Like, it's so much money to try and do that. And then you're going to play whack-a-mole if somebody really wants to mess with you, dude. Like, there's like, you know, it's like the easiest.
Yeah, if you want to pay
world,
like a law firm, if you want to pay a law firm just, you know, to send out $1,000 DMCA takedown, you know, requests every time a derivative pops up, like, you know, you're going to burn a hole in the wallet, like, you know,
like
really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think the CCO thing is like super interesting. Like, for example, at like Crypto Raiders, we're thinking about doing like, you know, some special events, right? And like one of them may involve like some Moonbird stuff in our game. But when one of the reasons I'm the most bullish on NFTs, especially on the gaming side, is interoperability. So like when like assets can be used, you know, back and forth. And when you just think about like, if we wanted to put Moonbirds in the game, like, they're CCO now, like, we can just do it. You know what I mean? Like, we're not like, okay, we got to go contact the team. We got to give them this proposal. We got to get their approval and then integrate it into our game. And then hopefully they don't like rug us and say like, pull this out of my games arbitrarily, right? Like, there is a use case where you're like, okay, think like Cryptodes. We could just bring Cryptodes into our game and do all sorts of interesting things. But there's also the marketing side, which is like, if you're kind of doing this integration with Moonbirds or Cryptodes, you want Moonbirds or Cryptodes people to come play your game. So you're going to kind of incentivize them to do that. So even though it's CCO, you're going to like kind of try to reward the owners of the project to get in. And that's where I think, you know, the power is. But I totally think that there's going to be projects that can have like, you know, strong IP rights. And we're at the tip of the iceberg, right? Like 5 years ago, there may be these interesting types of NFT applications where it makes a ton of sense to have like, you know, the licensing rights to them. And I do think like projects like Bored Apes, like imagine if you were like trying to be like a Web3 lawyer, right? Like you could see like a real brandability IP rights play. Like if you're going to create like, you know, the Bored law firm, you know what I mean? And it's like three people and they all have Bored Apes, right? Like you could, there's applications like that. I just think it's funny that, you know, we put such a premium on the price tag. And then when you look at, you know, most of the licensing deals happening, it's like, yeah, okay. Like, you know, Old Navy put it on a t-shirt. I would love to see the sales volume on that t-shirt. I would love to see the sales data. I'm sure
like
it was under 100,000.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I can't think of a worse combo, to be honest, but you know, good on them. A deal in the chat says, CCO is the new vegan. That is great, dude. Yeah.
That is
sure,
true.
Man. We're better than you, man. That's just how it is. If you're CCO, like you're just healthier, happier, like more equal, friendlier to animals. I mean, come on, you know, think of the environmental impact of IP rights, dude. Just think about that.
It's like, so good.
You've got to pay attorneys. They are wasting
paperwork,
fuel, paper, like office space to enforce these rights, dude. CCO, clean. less energy, way more energy efficient, dude. What an insight from Adil in the chat.
And Adil then fires in a second one, says CC0 isn't Moonbird's problem. It's the 20K inflation on the horizon. That is true. They're also trying a new approach where they're going to drip it out over time. I think that's pretty interesting, right? We've only really seen secondary collections drop all at once. So them dripping out over time, I think, is definitely interesting. But yeah, that is a very good point. That there is that, 20K inflation on the horizon. However, I think that 20K gets rid of 10K oddities. So
it does. Yeah. So it's only 10K total inflation, and it would literally take over a year minimum. I think the math is like 400 days. So it will take 400 days minimum to release that collection.
And that's a long time in NFT land.
That's forever. And so I actually love that they're doing it that way to like, look, hopefully as they grow the brand, like they're expanding naturally and more entrants are slowly coming in and able to participate over time with this. And it's like a nouns like model, right? So we'll see what happens, but I think it's a great way to do the drop. I can't think of a better way, honestly, like in terms of learning and seeing what happens. So.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. Let's go for another like 10 minutes. I have a question for you. So, We're getting into Q4 of this year, right? And a lot of times with consumer products, Q4 is sometimes, the biggest year of the season or more often than not. Do you, and this can apply to the art side or just in general, do you think that there's going to be like a lot of really exciting things happening in the NFT space, drops or whatever, in Q4 of this year? Or do you think it's going to be substantially slower than last year?
I think substantially slower would be my guess. Only because I don't see anything happening. Like last year, last year was kind of slow, right? In November and December.
It was.
It was like a low time.
It was October that was really bad. It was October that was really bad. November was okay. December was okay. Then January
was bonkers. We're in such a different environment because crypto was at all time highs, like right around like the first NFT NYC. Yep. And so like, it was a very different environment. I don't foresee anything big happening for a few months. I don't know. I mean, I could be totally wrong. It's been a quiet couple of months already. And a lot of these projects, like I always call this like everybody's hitting, and I don't know why I didn't follow my own advice, but like 6 months ago, I was like, everyone's about to hit their cool cats moment, right? Where you're no longer just like living off the initial hype, and you got to deliver some stuff that feels
and cool. Delivery is bearish in the NFT space.
Yeah, right. It's like you don't want to be like, you can't have any cash flow.
You can't have the same roadmap as someone else. Right. Yeah, so you try to do something a little different, but there's only so many things that you can do unless you are just a muse and you can come up with amazing ideas out of thin air. I really like that take. I completely agree with you. I think we're probably set for a slower Q4, but I just have a gut feeling that there's going to be some interesting new things or like innovation in Q4 of this year. So meaning like a loot kind of event or like, Jenkins, the valet. Like I'm surprised I know there's like chimpers and there's some other things, but I'm surprised there's not more like of these kind of, Jenkins, the valet plays popping up. Cause just like when I think like I got into NFTs trading last year, in the summer of last year, I got into, Crypto Raiders, which is now my full-time job. And then in October, got into the Nifty portal, which has been like a big part of my time, right? So I don't have time to launch another project. But like if I didn't have those projects, I feel like in the summer of this year, early summer, late spring, I would have, if I just had bandwidth, I would be thinking about Q4 launches for something like really novel and cool. And I feel like there's going to be some cool stuff. This last 2 months has been really, really boring for NFTs. It's been really boring. And the action, but like in the innovation, you know what I mean? Like what's happened in the last 2 months where you're just like, that's going to be a footnote in NFT history.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the other thing we have to look forward to is like one more I mean, I hope anyway. Like
one Valhalla pump.
One more Valhalla pump would be nice, but another blue chip, right? Like so.
Yep.
On average, we get like one a quarter. That's what's been happening. And I would argue, you know, this last one was Utes, and you know, just from a price standpoint, it's actually worth something. And who knows if it actually turns into something big? But like, it feels like, you know, every few months, like the one before that was Goblins, right? And they did well, but I, you know, maybe you could look at Digi and say that was one, but I feel like every quarter, the beautiful part about NFTs, I think we share the exact same thesis, which is like, look, I wrote it's my pinned tweet. I'm like, look, I think NFTs are just going to keep, you know, even though volume is technically way low compared to where it was, like, I feel like we're still alive and we're still thriving. Like there's still trades happening. It's just more exciting than regular coins. Like they just are. So I'd much rather play in the NFT space than anywhere else.
I'm completely the same way. Like I go to stocks and I think about like, you know, I'm trying
it's
to
ticker. It's like, you know, but hey, it's just, and you don't even get to own the actual ticker, like an ENS domain, dude.
Exactly.
I own those numbers, dude. Like I'm 5856. Let's go. You're like, it's as silly as it sounds. Right. I think I tweeted today. I was like, you know, everyone thinks these numbers are so dumb. And meanwhile, like we are all buying and selling JPEGs. So like, stop taking yourself so seriously. Numbers are also a meme, and they're
The thing, man. Anytime something doesn't make sense, but there's a lot of people talking about it, that's usually a 10xer. And I've effed this trade up so many times. But like, Steppen is one. You know, the ENS domains is one. Like Axie Infinity is probably one, right? Like things that you don't fully get. So. Nodes prediction, which I completely agree with, in Q4 of this year, we're going to get another like top tier project, 5 ETH plus floor, top tier project coming out in Q4 2022. I love that. I like that too. I'm going to make a little bit of a different prediction, but in the same veins, I think we're going to get a Steppen-like thing in Q4 2022.
Oh, that would be
sick. It's not going to be Steppen, right? But it's going to be like easy consumer adoption model, something different out there that we're not thinking about. That's what I'm hoping for Q4 2022. Some people in the chat... Yalo said free mints integration with in real life use of latest rendering tech for Unreal 5. And then a nice little shill here, Red Pepe's. JY Durant says clone forging. Groovy T says like one more goblin like play. So similar to what you were saying.
Yeah.
Von Gogh says he likes artifacts clothing drop. A Japanese anime manga company going to come out with an NFT launch pad. Maybe that's interesting. And then Hamza says Coda's after decoupling. So maybe we get some interesting action going on with Coda's. The right answer, though, because Node and I are from the future, the right answer is that four-digit ENS is pumped to 100 ETH floor. That's all that's going to happen in Q4 of 2022.
And remind me to sell at that point.
Yes.
I only got one. It's going to be hard for me to
just
let go.
List it. Yeah, just list it right now.
Just list it for like ETH, dude.
Exactly.
And maybe maybe 5856 is that's actually my Moonbird's number. Maybe that's an important punk's number. I have no idea. So
a lot of people, they believe in like, you know, numerology, and there's like, you know, power, you know, it, you know, behind numbers. And when I rolled that rare mutant that night, like I listened to it and I was like the lucky, like, you know, Chinese gambling number, like 3 8s. I listed it like 88.8. I woke up the next morning, OpenSea email, your item is sold in my inbox. Happiest day I've had.
Dude, no way, dude. I did not know you sold a rare mutant for 88. Holy crap,
dude,
man.
Best day of my life.
More than you sold your actual ape for, am I right?
More than I sold my actual ape for.
Congrats.
Yes, and then I lost all of that money on bad trades in 2022. So please don't think that I'm going to be buying your dinner when I see you all for
NFT
Amazon
next year.
I gave it all back.
That's what I did.
Yeah, dude, awesome talking with you. Had an absolute blast. I'm really, you know, I'm researching a couple hours a week on art so that I can have enough interesting stuff to talk about to get on the Node Mode show sometime in October. That's my plan. Is I'm just going to be researching with a pen and a pad, just, you know, crunching numbers. Maybe I'll buy a ringer just to get on the show. We'll see.
Dude, I think I could fit you in there. We'll see if we can get you. You know, the schedule's filling up quick.
I mean, you got some real studs on there. I actually tuned in today. I thought it was a great conversation. I loved it. But yeah, I mean, I love what you said that, you know, even though we're in a really bad bear market, NFTs are still exciting and it still feels like there's like real energy and there's real stuff happening. And I firmly believe, like, you know, I say, if you keep your feet chopping in a bear, you know, you're going to be in shape for the bull. And for people out there, that doesn't mean that you have to blow your liquid, you know what I mean, to like trade. But it's literally just like being active in the space. You know what I mean?
Keep careful on that soundbite, dude. Blow your liquid, man. I just want to be super careful. They're going to clip that, dude. It's going to be great, you know?
But yeah.
I'm going to keep my liquid and I'm going to keep it, you know, for the right moment in time.
Yes, dude.
And we're going to, dude, we're going to just dominate the rest of this market. Money is made in the bear, even though it doesn't seem like it. Just try not to lose it all in the meantime.
Yes. Awesome. Well, great show. I forget the outro. It's something to do with subscribe and lick the like.
Lick the like, smash the subscribe button, and buy the Nifty Portal.
Buy the Nifty Portal. If you don't know, we have morning shows every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern. We got the Node Mode every Thursday, but this week he did the show earlier today on Monday, so check the replay if you haven't listened to that one. He'll be back. You'll be back for your regular Thursday show next week?
Correct. Correct.
Awesome. And then you can expect NFT Nick, who will probably have in a attack manifesto written on Node after Node calling him out live on air for his height. I think there's going to be a clawback on Wednesday. And of course, we will have Mr. P.O., the glue that keeps us all together. Thanks for tuning in. I think P.O. is actually going to have to pull us off air. We'll see if he pulls an NFT Nick on me and just leaves me or Node on the screen by ourselves for, you know, 5 to 10 minutes.
There he is. I was like starting to type. I realized I forgot to mute and I started typing with my mechanical keyboard. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to DM P.O. when this show ends. So, yes, P.O., please let us free.
P.O., please let us free.